First, love it or hate it, the Affordable Care Act has been talked about and talked about some more, but has yet to materialize in concrete changes that most Americans can actually notice. That is about to change very soon. And here in Michigan, one of the first major signs of the new world order in American healthcare is Consumers Mutual. The new East Lansing-based health insurance company received a $72 million federal loan as part of the Affordable Care Act to become what's called a consumer-operated and oriented plan, or conveniently shortened to co-op. It operates much like a credit union where members will have an ownership stake in the company. And here to tell us more about how Consumers Mutual works is its CEO, Dennis Litos. Welcome, Dennis.
Good morning.
You've compared Consumers Mutual to a credit union in that it will be a 51% member-owned operation and you'll be a non-profit. Tell us a little bit more about how Consumers Mutual will work.
Well, Mark, you know, the difference in a co-op model of governance in the insurance industry is that in addition to being a consumer-governed organization, which is important because we'll sell commercial insurance to individuals and small groups throughout the state, so we're talking about small business and individuals, they will have a say-so in how we govern the organization. And one of the key things that co-ops do with excess profits is they reinvest in keeping premiums lower for their members. In addition to that, they work on expanding benefits, and they have the ability to partner well with their providers throughout the state. The key difference here is that our excess reserves aren't going toward buying additional insurance companies or doing other things other than helping to keep premium flat and insurance affordable for our members.
How many other companies like yours do you know you'll be competing with? New companies like yours. Are there many or are there just a few?
There are several co-op insurances throughout the country, and we're one of 24 that was approved for loan funding under the Affordable Care Act.
Is there another one that our listeners might be familiar with?
There would be Health Partners in Minneapolis is a large one, Wisconsin, Farmers Co-op out in Seattle, Group Sound, and a number like that throughout the country. Here in Michigan, we're the only nonprofit co-op insurance company under that model. And there are some other insurers who currently provide Medicaid coverage in the state that are filing for a commercial license in the state and will also be new competitors in the state of Michigan.
You'll be competing with Sparrow's PHP and McLaren Health Plan locally. How will you attract customers with those competitors on the landscape already?
Well, our target market is the uninsured today, and those are those folks that range between 138% and 400% of poverty. That's our primary market as we get started, and of course, all individuals will be our market in the long-term future. There's about 542,000 of them that are currently uninsured throughout the state. We're building a good, effective network throughout the state with providers, so we will certainly compete with the other insurance companies. But we do have a little bit of a niche, and that is that our founding governance was consisting of a group of county health plans in the state that were already in existence, providing some health care coverage for the uninsured. And in my history, when I was CEO at Ingham Regional Medical Center, named that way in those days, we had the opportunity to start the first county health plan for the uninsured in the state.
Ingham Health Plan,
that's
right?
Correct, Ingham Health Plan. And currently, the CEO of that health plan is on our board, and we have another CEO from two county health plans up north, Bruce Miller. We have public health represented on our board, a consumer advocacy group here in the state of Michigan. The Michigan League for Public Policy is represented on our board. We have small business represented on our board. We have hospital CEO on our board.
Those county health plans will be folded into Consumers Mutual? They will essentially become Consumers Mutual?
No, they won't be folded in, but they have partnered with us to come this far. And in 2014, their funding mechanism is going to disappear. So they will, as of October 1st in 2014, not have the funding they had available to them before. So they were looking for an organization that could pick up some part of that membership that might qualify for subsidy on the health exchange and partner and have an organization that would continue with the same, let's say, mission to ensure that we get folks covered in the state and that we have insurance that's affordable for them.
And under the provisions of the Affordable Care Act, you say there are over a half million people in Michigan without health insurance right now. Under the provisions of the Affordable Care Act, all of those people will be obligated to purchase some kind of health plan, which opens up this opportunity for you.
Yeah, it opens up an opportunity for those individuals to be subsidized by the federal government and be able to afford health insurance. And the remainder of the uninsured, of course, have the opportunity, hopefully, for Medicaid to cover them in the expansion program here in the state of Michigan.
You're in the process right now of negotiating contracts with hospitals and healthcare providers, I understand. I imagine the network that emerges from that will be provide some kind of leverage for you in terms of the customers that you end up signing up to plans. They want the biggest network they can get, right?
Absolutely. So everyone's looking for access, and we want to make sure that all of our customers have good access to health care and high quality health care throughout the state. One of the I think significant opportunities for the health systems throughout the state and other providers is that this group of patients will now have commercial insurance coverage, which they haven't had historically. So those providers have had to absorb that as uncompensated care. So as the reimbursement system changes and the whole intent behind getting people covered is to do as much as we can to eliminate uncompensated care and to end up with fair and equitable insurance coverage for that population.
Tell us a little bit about these discussions in which you are negotiating these contracts with the hospitals and the healthcare providers. What's at the heart of that process?
Well, the heart of that process is having that discussion that their funding, that which has traditionally come through a mechanism called disproportionate share funding for assisting hospitals and making up some of the losses that they have from uncompensated care for treating those patients historically, gets replaced by individuals that are now covered under a commercial insurance plan.
You'll be relying on, we're talking with Dennis Litos of the newly formed Consumers Mutual Healthcare Plan. You'll be relying on healthcare exchanges for a good amount of your business. You told the Lansing State Journal around 60%.
Yes.
Initially. Recently, there's been growing concern coming from the Congress, from U.S. Senate Democrats, over the implementation of these exchanges just in the last month or so. Both Senator Max Baucus of Montana, who's an author of the Affordable Care Act, and Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid say they fear a train wreck. Henry Chow, the government's chief technical officer in charge of putting in place these insurance exchanges, was quoted in the Congressional Quarterly as saying, "I'm pretty nervous. Let's just make sure it's not a third world experience." My question is, how would difficulties implementing these exchanges, whether it was a train wreck or something less, how would that impact your company?
Well, you know, I don't think any different than most organizations that go through computer conversions, having run large health systems. Anytime you go through a major system change and you're bringing up a new system like the exchange or any kind of information system for your large organization, you're going to have some challenges. And I think that we need to work together to resolve whatever issues evolve. One of the key things that I think we're all challenged by is the short timelines to get things implemented.
There's a funding challenge, though, too, isn't there? I mean, hasn't funding that was anticipated to get the health exchanges up to speed, that's in some jeopardy now?
Well, one of the challenges has been whether or not the legislature in given states has been willing to accept funding from the federal government to help educate the community. And for example, in this state, we gave up several million dollars of funding because our legislature couldn't come together and agree to receive that funding. So I think the biggest challenge is not so much getting information systems up and running appropriately, it's getting people educated. So part of our strategy and part of every health system and I think every health insurer strategy is do as much as we can to educate the community on our own now.
On the federal level and on the state level, how chaotic could this get, though, Dennis? I mean, does this worry you? Is a train wreck possible?
Having worked in the healthcare industry for 35 years, we've been through many, many major changes when Medicare converted to diagnosis-related groups reimbursement back in the 80s, to just thinking about requirements for having effective essential health records in our organizations and meeting those guidelines, and all the changes that we have gone through and all the regulations that we have lived under in the healthcare industry. I think this is simply one more. Will it be more challenging because it's new and different? Sure, absolutely. But I think we work through our challenges, and if we have some bumps initially, we'll solve them, and hopefully in 2015 it'll be a smoother process.
Give us your thoughts on the Medicaid expansion discussion going on at the state capitol. Have you written that off? Do you have any response to the Republican plan that was just put on the table?
Well, I think it's great that we have a plan and that we have a debate going on. Absent a debate, you can't get to a resolution. Expansion is critical because historically, the reason that individuals and small group insurance and large group insurance has been so expensive is that we've had a cost shift that's gone from the uninsured that we've taken care of in the healthcare industry. We've had to raise our rates and continuously deal with the health insurers, and they've had to raise rates in order to cover the uncompensated care. So if you're doing the Affordable Care Act and you're covering those that are over 138% of poverty to 400% with subsidy, and others have a requirement to get out there and get some insurance, if you leave this group in between uncovered that qualify for Medicaid, it's still going to leave a bump in the system and uncompensated care out there and individuals not getting access to care. So it's not really fair to that population, and I think we need to resolve it in the near future.
Well, assuming a Medicaid expansion is not in the cards here in Michigan, what kind of challenge does that pose to Consumers Mutual?
Well, what it's going to do for everybody, actually, is for that group between 100 and 138% of poverty, they will have to qualify for some kind of subsidy. Something will have to be worked out so that they can get insurance through the exchange in some way, shape, or form. Otherwise, we'll have to look for ways to continue to provide some coverage and some mechanism to make that happen for that population. Otherwise, they'll end up in the emergency room without any primary care and their illness is not being taken care of.
Would you prefer to see the latest Republican plan? This involves a four-year time limit and more responsibilities or more incentives for participants. Would you rather see that than nothing at all?
I think the answer to that would be yes. You need to have skin in the game. And the one thing about the Affordable Care Act and the subsidy program is that individuals have to contribute to their premium. They have to contribute to their out-of-pocket costs. And to the degree to which they are on the lower end of income, they get a little bit more subsidy, in fact, to do that. And on the higher end of income, a little less subsidy. So I think that if you want to design a new Medicaid expansion program to have a little bit more out-of-pocket for the individuals, that will work okay. I think the argument to that is that, if that ends up being additional uncompensated care or bad debts that can't be collected by your healthcare providers, it creates a bit of a challenge. But I think everybody having skin in the game today is the appropriate thing for healthcare.
Is there a provision, another provision of the Affordable Care Act that particularly concerns you as far as your company's operation goes?
I don't think so. There's certainly going to be, I think over the years to come, some modification to the Act to improve perhaps implementation processes or some aspect of what individuals don't like about it or the problems that evolve as we're trying to operationalize this. But in any major change, there's always going to have to be an evaluation of how it's working, and if it's not working well, what kind of changes do we have to make and implement to make it better?
Stay in touch. We will be keeping an eye on how Consumers Mutual does, and it's been great talking to you today.
Thank you, Mark.
Dennis Litos is the CEO of the new East Lansing-based Consumers Mutual Health Insurance Company.